99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Right here for you. 884-9910, our number. John Potter, live and local. Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Current temperature after that most excellent weather forecast, 77 degrees in Reno. And I brought this up at 9 o'clock. It's my last chance to bring it up because I see the big cool down happening to from here on out. It's all downhill. And we're going to have a high of 67 degrees on Wednesday, 70 degrees on Thursday. We're in the 70s all week, except for that 67 degree temperature high for Reno on Wednesday. We could squeak out in 80s tomorrow, but it will be something like 82 degrees in Reno. And I said at the start of the show, is there anything better on a day like this than ice cream? And I started a little survey, didn't have a whole lot of time to take the calls there, but asking you for the best place in all of Northern Nevada to get your ice cream fix, which must be satisfied. We need to know. I need to know where it is you go. And the minute I said ice cream place, I'm sure your mind went not to something that's here now, but the place you went to as a kid. Is there any place that matches that experience? Heard about Country Creamery in Fallon, local handmade, hand-churned ice cream shop using all local ingredients, including the cream from the local cows and Steve's ice cream and Fernley, which I first got to taste in Genoa at the Little General Store, which just got new owners, and I hope they keep the Steve's ice cream, is homemade as Country Creamery and one of the best ice cream stores ever. Delicious, melt in your mouth, creamy, fresh tasting ice cream. And I was amazed when I first tasted it. It's love to hear your tips. 884-9910. Okay, back to the serious stuff here. The smartphones in schools. This week, the article in the Nevada Independent, they asked how the smartphone rules, the new rules banning them during instruction in schools, how were they going over in Nevada? Well, here's what the article says. A teacher in Las Vegas was quoted as saying that without the phones, quote, just these first 2 weeks, I've been able to see such a difference in productivity levels. Students are turning in work at higher rates compared to this time last school year because they have the phones put away. This new law, SB 444, requires Nevada school districts to adopt policies regarding cell phone use in schools. It passed unanimously. I'm still stunned at that. I've never seen anything pass unanimously. 35 states, by the way, not just us. 35 states now have rules limiting phones and other devices in school for good reason. But students are not happy. Really. There's a teacher in Las Vegas who offers students fidget toys in exchange for phones upon entering her classroom. She says to the Nevada Independent article, she says, it's only fair. The cell phone behavior, it's a subconscious thing you do. You pick it up and you touch it just to look at what time it is, to click a button, to open apps, to close apps. It's become a part of us. They got to go. Ma'am, they got to go cold turkey. Oh my gosh, really? You have to provide the fidget tools to replace the cell phone. Boo hoo. Really? They're there to learn. Oh boy, there goes my dad's voice in my head right there. Ivana Lan, a student at Reno High School, told the Nevada Independent, enforcement in her school is left up to the teachers. In her math class, she exchanges her phone for a calculator to fidget with, I guess. In other classes, she stores it in a pouch or her backpack. you know, this is a good new law, but, you know, leaving it up to the schools, it kind of puzzles me a bit. I can't imagine that student phones during class is better for one school than another. You know, absolutely, the smartphones take the focus away from learning. I think that's kind of universal. They are a negative distraction during learning in any class. I ask, why not make it a hard and fast rule? Democrat lawmaker Angie Taylor of Reno, who sponsored the bill, told the Nevada Independent that there was a reason behind leaving the policy specifics up to the districts. She says Nevada's 17 school districts are diverse and each have their own needs, and the locals know the nuances that will best fit their situation. Spoken like a true politician. I mean, why make this complicated and confusing? I mean, teachers shouldn't have to and can't compete with Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok during class. Phones during learning, bad. Phones in pouches, good. That is how the law should have been written. Eight words. Simplify. There should be an expectation of no phones as soon as the school day begins. Give the teachers a break. Back to the article. Some parents, though, want constant contact with their child. Yes, we know parents like this, don't we? And some of them seem to make good points. What about in an emergency? What about during a school shooting, a school shooter? The answer, do not risk and waste time texting and calling if it's an emergency. Do listen to what the school personnel are telling you in an emergency. What can a parent do anyway during an emergency? Let the authorities take care of it. They're trained. They have routes that they go through, and it's been tested. And I think it's very wise to just let the authorities handle it. Though I do agree, you know, parents do have a lack of trust. Uvalde, Texas, and others. But for now, students can focus more on teaching. No disruptions. The article says also there are now more positive interactions among students. These students are actually looking with their eyes at people and talking to them. Kids are talking to each other in the hallways and in the cafeteria. And how timely is this law? Just as it was getting easy for students to look up answers on Google or ChatGPT instead of doing the work themselves. Teacher asked question in class. You can have that phone. You could have the phone do that voice to text, and then ChatGPT could come up with the answer. And you would be the star student. So, you know, some may disagree. It may not solve the attention problem in class, but it's not going to do any harm. And the upside is it might do some good for those kids who obey the rules. And, you know, in school, most kids obey most rules. So I personally think that if you don't have a phone in your hand for those 5 or 6 hours through the school day, although it seems to be getting shorter and shorter, there's a greater likelihood you raise your hand and raise your head. You look people in the face. You pay closer attention. And some parents need to be honest and aware of the fact that these phones that they buy their kids, they're like a minefield. Yeah, everybody's doing it, but it not necessarily a very good idea. I think there's strong potential for addictive behaviors to come in. Well, look at me. I didn't know that I was hooked on Facebook. I was hooked on Facebook actually until they suspended my account and shut me down because of, I'm not talking about the Channel 2 one. Facebook did. That's a whole nother story. I don't want to get into that, but I am forced to live without Facebook now. And now I have time for like these things in my house. They're called books, And by golly, they're pretty fascinating. And I had no idea. I was spending 2 hours every night when I first go to bed and lay down and spend 2 hours with Facebook. It never occurred to me that I was now such a part of my daily routine that the first week of being banished from Facebook was very difficult for me. And I feel free. I really do. And I hope they don't restore my account right now. I don't know why they banished it. It's just all cat pictures and wife pictures. I mean, there's nothing political in it. There's nothing controversial. I look upon social media as a place to spread some joy and happiness. But I realized when I was addicted to Facebook, there was less and less joy and happiness in it. And it would just, the people with their snarky ways and their insults and their negativity, just, okay, I'm notorious for this. I've gone way off track. Let's go back to the smartphones in schools. The phones that parents buy their kids are, I'll say it again, like a minefield. Not a good idea. Addictive behaviors do come in, and a fair amount of mental illness that kind of gets sparked and promoted and facilitated. You withdraw from the real world, and you instead look at this little phone here, and there's bullying, and there's sexual stuff, and there's a lot of, there's good, there's some good, you know, to be had, obviously, but there's a lot of bad, and there's more bad than ever day by day. And unfortunately, a lot of our kids are disappearing into their phones. I've gone over. It's 11:18. I'm John Potter, live and local. Any local issue you want to bring up, or even national, no yelling allowed. But yeah, I got 40 minutes left with you. 884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back in a short, after a short break, FM News Talk time, 11:18.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. FM News Talk time, 11:22. I'm John Potter, live and local, 884-9910, our phone number. Bob is calling from Sparks on the topic just talking about smartphones in schools. Hey, Bob, good morning. I'm glad you called, sir. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. I'm sorry I missed your rant at the very beginning. That's one of my favorite parts of your show. But when you're semi-retired, you lose track of the day and the time and all that other stuff. But what I wanted to do was comment on the cell phones in schools. Okay. I agree with everything you say about keeping the cell phones out of the schools. There's a number of different ways of doing it. And I'll be pleasantly surprised if the Washoe County School District is able to do this successfully. Okay. We'll see. But
what alternative way do you have in mind to do this, Bob?
Well, the one thing they can do is they can stop at the office in the morning and they lock up the phones. They don't go to their rooms. They don't whatever. If there's an emergency, somebody calls in and say, I need to talk to little Johnny because his uncle just died or whatever. There's somebody in the office, if there should be, answers the teacher's phone and says, okay, send little Johnny out right away, et cetera, et cetera. They don't need to have those phones in their school, in the classroom, okay?
And I'll tell you what, that's exactly how you described it there, Bob. That's exactly how it was in the 60s, 70s when I was going to school. That was the process. If it was that something very important from the parent, they would call the school office. Somebody from the school office would go to the classroom, knock on the door, and relay the message. Yeah, it worked.
Yes, it works. It worked fine, okay? And let me tell you, it's like the old expression that I use. It says, when they make a bigger mouse, we'll make a bigger mousetrap, okay? So they need to up their game because I'm telling you, some of these kids are pretty clever, very clever. And if they even have their parents, they say, okay, Johnny, here's the deal. You got two cell phones, okay? One you keep in your pockets, and one you turn in at the middle, beginning of the day, okay? And I've been a sub in Washoe County School District for 6 years. Dozens, hundreds of schools and whatever. I mean, hundreds of school days, okay? And believe me, they expect the subs to, the teacher will put on their lesson plans. Okay, well, they're not allowed to use their phones in the classroom. Okay, what do you do about it? No, you cannot have the sub do that type of thing. Gets into a big fight sometimes, big argument. It's just ridiculous, okay? So they got to do it from the very beginning when they come to school. There will be a few that will probably have a second phone, okay? But it will eliminate the large majority of them. But, well, you know, asking the teacher to do it, you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't doubt that there are parents who provide the two phones. We call them, what are they called? Helicopter parents or...
Helicopter parents.
Partners in crime, you could say. You are out of the school system now. Bob, do you still keep in touch with those who are currently still teaching?
No, but I do keep in touch with some people that are very close to the school district, okay? And I'm working on another program that will fulfill what I think I should be doing, having spent 26 years teaching middle school. And we'll see how that goes. You know, I never give up.
Sounds ominous, but thank you, Bob. And best success to you, my friend. Call again sometime. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And, oh, he said middle. You know, here's a little pet peeve. Middle school. When I was going to school, it was junior high. And that had some heft to it. You know, junior high. It was like somebody saying from up above, you've accomplished, you've reached this point to junior high. And now middle school, I don't know. Is it me? It sounds like a step down. Why change it from, and this was nationwide, I think. Because my hometown does this, too. No more junior highs, everything middle. And that's about all I know about education today, folks. It's not much. But anyway, our phone number is 884-9910. I wasn't going to bring this up because it's embarrassing to me, but something else that happened to me just yesterday, and that is my attempt to save hundreds of dollars by not buying the HP brand ink cartridges and instead buying one of the many, and there are many, other brands of ink cartridges for your printer. I looked at the HP, I guess you could call them generics, or they call them counterfeit, but I looked at these other brands, you know, I just can't, and the reason is, folks, I just cannot keep buying these tiny, small, $39 HP ink cartridges that last only 200 pages. And I'm not exaggerating here. $39 for this little thing, and I have to buy a new one every 3 weeks. So I've been thinking about this, and I finally took the plunge, and I bought $11 generic other brand ink cartridges from Amazon that fit in my HP printer. And I think what they do is they get a hold of used up cartridges and buy those and put their cheaper product in them and sell them for a great discount. Now, there are quality issues, I'm sure, but $39 is such an outrageous price for this little one-inch plastic thing that last 200 pages, I just had to do this. And I did this carefully. I read the reviews on each one of these generic cartridges on Amazon.com. There were some that said these counterfeits were great. There were some, though, that said they did not work in their HP printer, and that was what I was fearing. But I bought two. I put one in. I put one of the generic print cartridges in my printer yesterday, and my printer made a couple of weird noises, and the printer head moved back and forth and stopped like it was thinking and then moved around a little bit more. And then I went to the laptop and it said, printer door open. Okay, I see trouble here. I went back. No, the printer door's not open, but it would not print. Damn. And then I got this email. It's from HP. It knows. It knows. It reads, your DeskJet printer is using non-original HP ink, but don't worry. We're here to guide you back to your HP benefits. Swap out those non-original HP cartridges with the real deal, and you'll notice a significant upgrade in printing features. Like, it'll work, right? Back to the email. Stick with original HP cartridges.
Like, I have any choice.
And you will keep enjoying HP benefits. Number one, print from any device anywhere. Number two, stay up to date and secure with automatic printer updates on the HP app. Need help or additional information about your printer? Our support team is here to help. Yes. And apparently your team is always a guy who is sitting at home in the Philippines telling me with an accent his name is Greg. If you have questions, contact us. There is absolutely no way, and believe me, I have searched, and I have searched that you will ever find a phone number to HP that is answered in the United States of America. It's impossible. And here at the end of the email now comes out sounding like a gangster. You cannot fully disable the HP program as it's a feature tied to your printer and requires a cloud-based connection. How do they get away with this? How does Apple get away with keeping all your iCloud backups, Apple Pay, and Apple Health data if you switch to Android? You can't take your stuff out of Apple Cloud and put it on your Android. Like, that's your data that you paid for. You paid Apple to store it, but their phones won't let you transfer that data if you switch to another brand. And I'm not picking on one brand here. I'm not picking on just Apple or HP. They all do this. I don't think you can take Samsung data to an Apple. And I could not transfer my Samsung notes to my new Pixel phone. But if there isn't already, I see a good class action case here. Maybe there is one, and I'll get on the list, and when they win, I'll get my $3. I'm John Potter, live and local, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon. Going to break briefly for news from Fox and local news with Greg Nift. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, our phone number 884-9910, FM News Talk, time 11:32.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Current temperature, 79 degrees, about to hit 80. We haven't had any calls at all about the best ice cream, the best ice cream shop. You and I will never get along. It's our last hot day, I think. It's temperatures downhill from here anyway. As always, I'll be grateful to take your call. I hope whoever you are, you will feel invited and empowered to call us right now. What am I hearing, my friend? Are we playing records now? Because I should have brought mine. Oh, okay. It's just okay. Got it. Oh, one thing I want to bring up, too. You might be in the same situation. She is my former neighbor's daughter, and she is frankly freaked out over how much college debt she has. I am freaked out by the amount. Being an old man who went to college in the 70s for something like, was it $850, $900 a year. I'm not exaggerating. That's how much my yearly, I know it was under $1,000. I know that, which at the time seemed huge to me back then, but that was my yearly tuition for college, Valparaiso University, Indiana. But my neighbor's daughter, she was 17 years old when she signed off on the student loans. She's graduated. She's 23 now, and she is still responsible to pay them off. But what she makes in her first job, she's not even close to making progress. She didn't know what she was doing at 17, but they let her do it anyway. Try taking out a business loan at 17 or 18 years old and see what happens. It's like they don't want somebody young to make money, but they're more than happy to put somebody young in a category of lifelong debtor. And I must tell you that if there is anything that I really don't like in life, it is debt. I despise debt. I absolutely hate it. I cheap out instead of having credit card debt. To me, that is an absolute. And I'm not going to say it's slavery, because that would be offensive to people, because it's not really slavery, but it is some kind of indentured servitude short of slavery. It's absolutely horrible. So Tamara is her name, and I feel for her. I really do. She's gotten a lot of advice from people, and she's gotten some hate from people, because after all, it's the internet, right? But to those of you who are young, did you get any kind of financial education when you were going to high school or junior high? Do they still do that? I mean, anything at all? Did they teach you about checking accounts? Did they teach you about interest rates? Did they have anything to say about mortgages and what they were and how you got them and what you could expect to pay? Did they have anything to say about student loans and taking out money on those student loans? See, when I was, this brings me back, because when I was going to school in the 1970s, we had a business class in high school. It really wasn't so much of a business class as it was a financial education class. Scratch that. It was my old junior high. Yeah, that's right. Now they call it a middle school. And for some strange reason, I thought junior high sounded, cool. Now middle school, well, you got a ways to go, you know. Anyway, we had a guy, Mr. Tierlink, and he taught us all of that stuff, how to balance a checkbook, you know, the importance of money, what money does and what it doesn't do. And the class and your humble host learned some valuable lessons about going into debt. And fast forward the clock, just a few years later, I could remember being in the student union of my college freshman year at Valparaiso University. And in the lobby, there was a banner and a table set up. And I would see these kids signing up to get credit cards. And the come on was, you signed up for our credit card and you got yourself $200 to spend. You get this card and you are pre-approved to spend $200. And to really entice the students, they had next to their table there discs, you know, the hand-thrown discs, kind of like what used to be called a Frisbee, but I'm going to call them hand-thrown discs in the interest of non-copyright infringement. Anyway, the disc and the T-shirt. So let me get this straight. If I sign up, I get to spend $200 and you're going to give me a hand-thrown disc and a T-shirt? And the students could not sign up fast enough. And I remember thinking, as somebody who had a little bit of an education in these things back in junior high school, which sounded better than middle school, I was like, wow, do you really know what you're doing? Do you not understand? Number one, they're not giving you $200. You have to pay it back. Not only do you have to pay back what you borrowed, you have to pay back the interest, the VIG. Actually, I think vigged might actually be a proper term for this. And, you know, when you're a college student, you don't really feel like going up to somebody and saying, excuse me, but do you understand you have to pay this back and you're going to, you know, have to keep paying and paying until the debt is completely satisfied. And I thought, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's the first day in college and nobody likes a buzzkill. And if I did that, that would be my reputation there at this college for four entire years. And that's just how I would be perceived for life. Anyway, back to Tamara and her student debt. I want to say before anybody else signs up for these college loan deals, and I don't even know if they do that credit card table thing anymore. It just really bugs me to this day to think about it. But anyway, I will say this. I went to college, and I am here to tell you, and you can agree and you can argue with me, that's fine. I really believe that given the ever-increasing costs of going to college, I think you can make your own future as opposed to paying somebody to teach you things that are never going to have any practical use. You know, it used to be, and boy, this was, you know, big in my time. You need college to be successful. You need college to get your foot in the door. Oh, baloney. You don't need college to get your foot in the door. And let me tell you something else, my dear radio friends, and that is trade schools, in my humble opinion, are the single best avenue to success in the United States today. More so than spending tens of thousands of dollars and being like Tamara and having $65,000 of debt at 11% a year. Let me stop and say, I don't know how much pull the University of Nevada has with the ownership of this radio station. If it's what I'm dreading, this will be my last, last show. But I'm just being honest with you. And let me tell you why the trade school grads and the people in the trade schools are always going to have a job. You are not going to replace a plumber with AI. You're not going to replace your electrician because of AI. Unless they really invent some really cool, awesome robots, which might not be for another 50 years. So there's that. Electricity, plumbing. What else can't AI replace? First responders, technicians, veterinarians, OBGYNs, carpenters, tailors, furniture upholsters, handymen, locksmiths, remodelers, HVAC, you know, air conditioning, heating repair, house painters, surveyors, architects. Some of these AI just might do, but there are others that AI cannot and will never touch. And people are going to be shocked, I think, at how fast AI takes over our lives and the world. Okay. But the people I mentioned are always going to be in demand for those things. AI will probably do everything else, but for now can't, or for the near future can't do them. And this AI thing, I'm going to keep on this subject and I'm going to try my best to keep you abreast of what is going on with it. Like any new developments of which I believe you need to be aware. And I just encourage you to make sure that your friends who are thinking of careers, especially, and your neighbors and the people with whom you work are aware of these icebergs that are ahead. See, you and I are the two people in the crow's nest of the Titanic. You and I see the icebergs ahead, but it's almost like the rest of the people, they're in their cabin sleeping, and they don't have a clue what we're headed for. And you've got to be the people who tell their friends and neighbors, this is what's going to happen. Wake up. I'm just saying you have a chance to be the canary in the coal mine without the cage, unless you're into that stuff. Okay, it's 11:49. Got one more break to go. If you have a comment, 884-9910. About anything, really. I'm John Potter, live and local, every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back after a short break. FM News Talk time, 11:49.
Live, local, FM talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. Final segment. John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. During the commercials there, I was thinking just one more thing. One more thing about making a lot of money and being fully employed and untouchable from AI. Somebody once told me, if you want to make money, do something for wealthy people that they don't want to do or can't do themselves. And then you're going to make money. And this reminds me of somebody who I know who is very busy here in Reno every November and December. You know what they do? They do Christmas lights for people. Lights for people with money. And apparently, unless they're showing off and exaggerating, this is a $25,000 or $20,000 a month gig in Reno, because people with money, and yes, there are some, people with money will pay small fortunes to have the best looking house on the street. So if you're really good with Christmas lights, do that. Obviously, but again, trade schools, and my heart breaks for Tamara, who has that huge student debt, because don't you know, you must know people like her, and I know people like this, and you'd be surprised how many of your doctors, are still very deeply in debt, and you'll want to know why your doctor doesn't just go out on his or her own and hang up a shingle. It's because they've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt that they've got to pay off. And it also basically makes them slaves to the big health insurance companies and the big health hospitals. So if they have a different medical view, they also can't express it publicly because they're going to be out of a job. They're going to be blackballed, and they will probably not practice again. And they're going to be deeply in debt at the same time. So I've put a lot of stuff out there, and I'm going to beat somebody to the punch. You know, somebody's going to say, well, John, you went to college. You have a college degree in history and journalism. Yes, I do. But it was a different time. And I was also working in the radio field my senior year of high school before I decided on my major. And personally, I don't regret college because I didn't graduate in debt at all. Like college didn't really cost me anything. It really didn't cost me anything because there was this employee tuition reimbursement program with the old ownership of my second radio station. So it didn't cost me anything. And I basically went for free. I remember I had to get a part-time job during college, projectionist and radio reporter to pay for my food plan. But back then, things were different, weren't they? I don't know if they do that employee tuition reimbursement anymore. That would be great, awesome if they do. But had I graduated with $65,000 in student loan debt, I probably would be singing a different song. But personally, I also think that college is what you put into it. And the reason I actually enjoyed it, and it was a learning experience, is I tended to buddy up, not kiss up, buddy up with the professors and get to know them. And I had a lot of extra educational experiences and job tips because of that. And when you go to a school with a lot of students, if you can be that one student who sticks out above the crowd as being genuinely interested in what your professor is teaching, they are going to really help you and open up a lot of doors for you. So college was great, you know, for the degree, for me. But it was even bigger for the connections that I was able to make. And it brought me out of my shell, too. The socialization part of it and joining the clubs and actually learning to be the president of clubs was a great learning experience, probably the best education ever. And that all worked. I mean, you know, to make those connections, because I got a great weed guide. No, the preceding was said for purist and entertainment purposes, not to be taken seriously or literally. All right. My gosh, I'm out of time. Thank goodness. After Fox News, the pros will take over again. It's been a wonderful experience talking to you this morning. Craig, thank you for pushing the buttons in Carson City. Let's have a hand for there he is. The studio audience applauding Craig and your efforts. So.
No problem. I just want to let people know, if they need any contact information for any of our guests, they just go to 991fmtalk.com. And today's guests are all on the website along with their information.
That's a beautiful thing. All right. Our current temperature is 81 degrees. Folks, enjoy the last rather hot day of the season. We just might not have another high of 86 for the rest of the year. So that's a big deal. Big cooling trend coming. I personally looking forward to it. Have yourself a great weekend. Love and miss you all. In the meantime, I'll be here on weekdays doing news and traffic. 99.1 FM Talk.